What? Hey, don't disrespect the drip. That was a little shout out for my Palmer crew friends who invited me to spring break, and they taught me a little slang, okay? So, and you're out there, right? You're out there? Hey, that was for you, no cap. But that doesn't tell you why am I standing on stage in a bee suit, okay? What happened was about several months ago, I got on stage to give a sermon, and Amy Gray said I had a bee suit. And let me just say, I had more comments about that than anything else I've ever said up here. In fact, every time I run into Peyton Oleksinski, she asks me, where's your bee suit? So I don't know, Peyton, if you're there or if you're watching online. Here it is. Here, where? All right. Sound good? All right. This is going to take me a little bit to get out of. Hold on. How many of you have a bee suit? Now let me do someone? Yes, awesome. Yeah, baby. Listen, we can testify to the amazing properties of bee suits. I can stand in the middle of 6 pounds of bees and not get stung. In fact, I came back from up north once and mosquitoes were like flocking, but I had to mow my lawn. And I was out of insect spray. So I put on my bee suit and mowed my lawn. I didn't get one bite. Not one. Bee suits are amazing. And I heard that our series was called Testify, so I thought I would testify to you about the amazing properties of a bee suit. But alas, we're not here to talk about random things, right? We're here to talk about the most important thing, right? We're here to talk about Jesus. We're here to talk about who he is, what he's done, and how he's impacted our life. Amen? All right. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 17. You can turn there in your Bible. You can pull it up on your app, or it'll be up here. And we're going to see how 10 outcasts encountered Jesus. And what happened was shocking. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather. We can gather and know that you're here. We can gather and know that you see us, you know us, and you deeply care. That's amazing. Thank you for that grace, Lord. Open our ears to hear your word this morning. It's fun to be silly, and at the same time, Lord, we want to know you sincerely. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now what we see in this verse, this incident we're about to read is only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. So it's significant to what Luke is trying to say. And what you see is you read that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now that's key when you're reading the Gospel of Luke. You see, in chapter 9, Jesus had been in doing ministry and healing people. And then in chapter 9 in Luke, it says that Jesus set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus had turned his attention. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to fulfill his ultimate mission. You know, the Son of Man came not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. and he had set his mind, I'm going here. And he was in Galilee in the north, and Jerusalem was south, and between there was Samaria. So what we know from the story is he's traveling into a village, he's on the border of Samaria. And it's important that whenever you're reading Luke, if you hear this, see this thing says he was traveling to Jerusalem, that is an indication of a new section in Luke. Just a little tip as you're reading your Bible. So he's traveling into an unnamed town, border town. Verse 12. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, we learn a good amount from these two sentences. Leprosy in the Bible is a generic term that talks about skin diseases. Many of them were very contagious and deadly. Okay, so we learn that here. And Jesus is going into the town. So more than likely, these 10 lepers are on the outside. So they're outside the town, and they meet him as he's going in, and they shout at him from a distance. Now, we know from Leviticus 13 in the Old Testament, in the law, we learn some things about how the Jews treated skin diseases. It was kind of the way, it's their health way of dealing with a pandemic, if you will. All right? And essentially what it says in Leviticus 13, if someone has a rash or they get broken out in skin, something along those lines, they need to isolate for 7 days. Okay? So they isolate themselves for 7 days. Then after that, they're to go to the priest. And they're to show themselves to the priest. If it does not get better, they're to isolate for 7 more days. And if they come back to the priest, and after 14 days, if it doesn't get worse, they are declared clean, and they can go about their business. But if after 14 days it gets worse, then they must leave the village and live outside of the city until they're cured. And they can come back only when it goes away. And each time they do this before a priest would declare them clean or unclean. 14 days of isolation. Sound familiar? Anyone relate? How's isolation? What's it like? Yes, lonely. Thank you. Answering. That's fantastic. Gets old, right? Gets old. 2 seasons of Ted Lasso don't last that long. And you can only get so much Netflix and Marvel movies until they lose their entertainment value, right? Right? 14 days of isolation. Isolation stinks. It stinks. I remember coming on campus my freshman year. And listen, don't judge me. There were no cell phones, okay? The internet was not a thing. So when you showed up here, it was just you. And I didn't come from one of these schools that sends like 40 people to U of M, okay? There were 2 of us, and I was lucky to be here. So there were times I wandered on campus. I went to class, and I'd study in between. And there were regular times I thought to myself, I haven't talked to a friend for 10 hours. 10 hours. It was lonely. And you know, I felt alone. I felt out of place. I wondered if I even belonged here. And there were times that I thought to myself, you know, if I never returned to my dorm, I don't think anyone would notice. Isolation stinks. It's hard. But these guys, we know that they were isolated for 14 days. And after 14 days of isolation, it got worse. So they had to pick up their things and leave town. And they had no idea if they would ever return. Intense, right? Isolated. For years. Some of them, we know at least 14 days they were out. But for some of them, honestly, it was years. So they were isolated. But then look what happens. Luke 17, verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Go, show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. The first shocking thing here is that Jesus tells them to go show yourself to the priest, right? We don't hear anything about him coming over to them. We don't hear anything about him coming and touching them. He doesn't tell them to rub mud in their eyes like he did last week when Joel was talking, right? He's at a distance, and he says, go show yourself to the priest. Can you imagine the response? You're standing there, you cry out, he says, go. That's what you're supposed to do when you're healed. But they weren't healed yet. They weren't healed yet. But Jesus tells them to go show themselves. I wonder why he did it this way. I wonder. What did they call Jesus when he cried out to them? When they cried out to him, what did he call him? Master, right? Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They didn't call him Son of Man. They didn't call him Rabbi or Teacher. They called him Master or Lord. It's the only place in the Gospel of Luke where anyone calls Jesus Master besides the apostles. These were desperate men. So they cry out. So Jesus meets them where they're at. He says, go, show yourself. So he's their Lord, go. And so what did they do? It's like our discipleship pathway we talk about, right? You read the word of God to get to know God and take a step to obey him, right? They actually heard the literal word of the Lord to go, and they took a step to obey him. So they went. And isn't that what it means to make someone your Lord? When you understand what they're asking you, you go. And it was on the way. It was in their obedience that the healing came, right? As they went, they were healed. And it's like this when we follow the Lord sometimes, right? He asks us to do things, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We're not sure what he's calling us to do, but he's asked us to do it, so we go. And for many of us, it's when we obey that we find the deliverance or the healing. And sometimes it's years later, right? It's years later. These 10 leopards, I call them leopards, that's probably not, lepers, right? They had faith. They heard Jesus, and they were like, all right, we're going to go. Now, what happens next is even more shocking, okay? You ready? You with me? All right, sounds good. Here we go. Luke 17, verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? The first crazy thing is only one of them returned, right? That's shocking. Only one came back. Listen, I understand forgetting to send a thank you, right? For like, you know, a shower gift. I get that. But come on. You just got healed. Your life has been transformed. Life is good. And only one of them came back to say thank you. That's shocking. But that's not even the most shocking thing. The most shocking thing is the guy who came back was a Samaritan. Now here in 2022, we're all like, okay, cool. It's a Samaritan, right? You need to understand that the Samaritans, who they were. See, a long time ago, hundreds of years before, God took the Jewish people into captivity. He sent nations against them, and he took them into exile as discipline because they had intermarried, and they were led to worship other gods before him. And so God took them into exile, and by his mercy and grace led the Jews back into Jerusalem and into the promised land, and they rebuilt the wall and rebuilt the temple. And then at that time, when it was all done, the Jewish people gathered in the courtyard, and they invited the Jews to come to the temple, and they spent 7 days reading the law and repenting. They understood why they went into exile. They went into exile because they forsook the Lord. And so they invited everyone back, and for 7 days they repented and worshiped. The Samaritans were in the land. They were Jews in the land, but they had intermarried. And when they were invited, they said, "No, thank you. We're good. We're fine doing the same things that led to our destruction, exile, and oppression. We're going to keep worshiping these things. We're fine." You see, there was hurt. There was betrayal. There was pain between the Jews and the Samaritans. So this isn't just a little thing. This is like, for us, it's like, cool. The Jews are like, "No way. No, come on, Jesus. This isn't good." All right? This would be like if Jesus walked up Washtenaw on this side, and across the rock there were 10 people crying out for deliverance, and the one who came back and said thank you was a Buckeye. You'd be like, "Woo, thank you, Jesus," but you'd be like, "Seriously? That really doesn't capture it." It'd be like if Jesus came up and the 9 who didn't come back were members of New Life Church. And the one who came back and said thank you and worshiped Jesus was a white supremacist who used scripture poorly to justify his beliefs. Now you feel it, right? Now you feel it. It's like, no way. The man who came back is a Samaritan. And that's the point. That's the point. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter your weaknesses or your maladies. It doesn't matter what makes you unclean or makes you ashamed. It doesn't matter why other people reject you. It doesn't matter your religious, whether you're religious or whether you are not religious. It doesn't matter who you used to worship. It doesn't matter what race you are or what harm you have done or your people have done. There is a place for you in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus has set his face like flint towards Jerusalem, and he's going there, and he's going to walk out of, he's going to be led in shame out of the city and die for your sins and my sins and the sins of all humankind. There's place for you in the kingdom of God. And all it takes is to turn to him and place your faith in him. Amen? Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. Listen, there's another point to this story. There were 9 that didn't return to Jesus, and he wondered where they were, right? He wondered where they were. Do you think Jesus was, like, offended? Like, "Man, I went out of my way to heal you. You don't want to say thanks?" Do you think he needed them to return? I don't think Jesus is like that. There was something more going on. He turns to the Samaritan and he says this, verse 19, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. What faith? What faith? The faith to cry out to him? I think it's more than just that, right? It's not just the faith to cry out to him. It was the faith to cry out to him and then return in worship. And return in thanks. The words "has made you well" literally means "has saved you." And so this one, there were 10 people who experienced the power and grace of Jesus, but only one of them got the deeper prize, right? Only one of them got the real relationship with Jesus. We can experience the power of God, but if it doesn't lead us to worshiping him and knowing him more intimately, we have missed the real point of our deliverance. right? There's something more. Jesus wanted them to return because he didn't just want to heal them from their physical ailments. He wanted to heal them from their spiritual ailments, which is sin. And that's much more difficult, or much more important, right? Sin leads to eternal death. He wanted to lead them to eternal life. One man found eternal life in Christ. The other nine were satisfied with easier life. And who could blame them, right? Who could blame them? Their life was hard. And they were delivered. Rick, you might be just saying, I thought this was about testify. Isn't that? I thought we were talking about testifying. Isn't that the name of the series? There's no testifying here. And I beg to differ. The Samaritan, what did he do when he came back? What did he do? Threw himself at the feet of Jesus and then worshiped and praised him loudly. Right? Praise is just testifying to God about God. Right? It is testifying to God about God. It is like telling God who he is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life. And when we do that, we know him more intimately. We understand who he is. That's why we come back here every Sunday. That's why we come. We come to praise him. We come to say thank you. And when we do that, we are testifying to God what he's done, and we know him in a deeper level. And we testify here to God and to one another so we can testify out there with greater confidence and boldness what Jesus has done. We remember the grace of God in our life, what he's done. Amen? Church, be the one that returns. Be the one that returns to Jesus. Let his power and deliverance lead you to worship and intimacy with him. Don't just be satisfied with an easier life. He has so much better for you than that. There have been thousands of people who have come through these doors over the years. Thousands. And many people have experienced the grace and power of God, and their life and eternity will never be the same. And we give glory to God for that. And there have been many people who have come here and experienced the power of God and maybe enjoyed the community and felt accepted. But when the sting of life came, they left Jesus. They left him. Let his deliverance lead you to worship and intimacy with him. See, some see the power and grace of Jesus like a bee suit. Knowing Jesus means that he's like a protective barrier from harm and difficulty. And so you can just walk through and without fear. But that's not true. Knowing Jesus is like taking his hand and walking into the swarm of bees, into the swarm of life, and knowing that he will be there no matter what. You know you're getting stung, and probably multiple times. And you know that he will be there, and he will heal you. Someday, right? You will find healing. Jesus left the city. He left the city in shame. And he died on a cross. But he returned. He returned, resurrected to a new life. And if you know Jesus and you've placed your faith in him, you will return too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you how amazingly gracious you are. There is no one here, not a soul here that is beyond your reach to love and to heal. There's not a soul in the city that is beyond you. There's not a soul on this campus that is beyond your grace. And we stand here as a testimony to you, Lord, of what you have done. It is not because of us. It's not because we're good, Lord. It is because you have rescued us. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.